If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Hey, Chicago, this is Elise Kling, filling in for Steve Bertram today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. So glad you could join us. It is 12:10, 10 minutes after the hour. You can follow me on Twitter at Glink, thinklink.com. I'm also the co-host of the Monday Morning Marketing Podcast with John Byrne, and WGN Plus is going to pick that up starting next week. So if you need a few extra tips for your business on marketing, social media, and all the rest, tune in. We're chatting up a storm. I'll also be taking your money and real estate and business questions at the bottom of the hour. You can call or text now, 312-981-7200. So nice to be here with you this holiday season. Andrew Herman is the senior editor at DNA Info Chicago. He is sitting to my right. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Same with you.
Nice to have you here. So Starbucks is got a lot of cheer going on,
God,
right?
They're always in the news, aren't they?
Well, I was there this afternoon, but I didn't get a red cup. What happened to the red cups? Donald Trump said red cups. They pulled them off.
I'm not quite clear on what happened there, but I did notice that somehow they disappeared.
So what's going on with Starbucks?
Sure. Well, in Wicker Park, there's a shop at 1588 North Milwaukee, and they announced this week they are going to triple in size. They're 600 square feet now, and they're expanding next door, making it 1,800 square feet, and they're going to be one of these Starbucks evenings type stores, meaning they're going to sell beer and wine after 4 o'clock. And
I was thinking that they were doing a concept Starbucks like that down here in Chicago, somewhere around Oak Street. Did they end up building that one out?
Yeah, they have one of these downtown. They have one in Albany Park and Hyde Park. They've been around for a couple years, but this is clearly a kind of a growth area for the company. Mm-hmm. Across the country. They hope to have a quarter of all their stores sell beer and wine by 2019. So they clearly see this as a way to get that after 4 o'clock traffic. People may not want to drink coffee after 4 o'clock, but they might want to go and have a glass of wine or a beer.
So I'm liking the idea of this. It's a great product extension for them. Mm-hmm. Plus, think of all the other stuff you can buy that'll have the Starbucks logo on it, but not be for coffee or tea. So I'm really liking that. But of course, if I'm a local restaurant, which depends tremendously on a booze ticket in order to make those numbers work, right? It's not just food for a restaurant that makes it profitable. A lot of times it's what people are drinking.
Yeah.
I think I got to be a little nervous about this.
I would think so, though. The Starbucks, they have a menu, so they do have some things to eat, but it wouldn't be like a complete meal that you might get at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But if I was a local bar, I would see this as a definite threat to my business. I think people get used to going to Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
Generally, they're pretty nice.
Yep.
You know, they're clean. They
have a bathroom.
Quiet. They got Wi-Fi. They have newspapers. They have...
what more could you want?
I'm there.
Right.
You know? And so the fact that maybe you're going to meet somebody and say, well, where should we go? Well, we can just run over to Starbucks and maybe somebody doesn't want to drink. You know, so they can have coffee. If you're going to meet somebody at a bar, everyone feels kind of like, okay, I've got to have a beer or a wine. But if you say, let's all meet at Starbucks. The people who want to drink wine can drink wine, and people who just want to drink coffee can drink coffee. So it's kind of a winning combination. The Starbucks did a survey of its customers and found that 70% said they will drink wine. They're
How
wine
early?
Drinkers.
Is this going to be one of those things that they have on the wall that says, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. We know it's 10 a.m. in Chicago, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how that would work. But I do know that you can't use your gift cards there. And
at these Starbucks or for the alcohol?
For the alcohol.
You Interesting.
Can't, yeah, you can't use it, which will disappoint many, many people, because apparently more Starbucks gift cards were sold this Christmas than any other gift card.
Right. So what was the insane number of zeros I saw in the news? Was it $250 million Starbucks gift cards?
They were selling 1,700 cards a minute on December 24th.
Oh, my gosh.
And they figured out that 1 in 7 adults got Starbucks cards for Christmas.
I did not get one.
I got
did you?
One.
You
yes,
did?
I did. I did. And,
okay.
You know,
ding,
it was
ding,
kind
ding,
of a
ding.
Gift at work. And, you know, I said, I can't use these for wine. What am I going to do with them? But We'll figure something out.
I'm sure somebody will now give you a bottle of wine just to make up for the fact that you can't go there.
Just send it over to DNAinfo.com.
That's it, of course.
I'll take it.
All right, what else is going on locally?
Well, we also have an interesting shop, a small business story opening in Lincoln Park, a shop called Nothing Bundt Cakes, B-U-N-D-T Cakes. It's opening at 1953 North Clybourne, and as it sounds, it sells nothing but bundt cakes.
All right, I've seen this elsewhere. This isn't the first store
right.
that they have, right? This is where are they from?
They're from Las Vegas, but there's a few of them in the suburbs already, LaGrange, mm-hmm. Elmhurst, and Mount Prospect. They sell all kinds of different flavored cakes, carrot, pecan, praline.
They're beautiful. They've got nice little stripes on the top. And
yeah, clearly.
I feel like I walked
end.
By one of these in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. Is that a possibility?
It's possible.
Atlanta,
you know,
maybe?
They have an interesting backstory. In 1997, two friends, Dina Tripp and Debbie Schwetz, were pals, and they would cook things and try to impress each other. And it turns out one had a great recipe for cream cheese frosting. The other one had a recipe for, you know, the cake part. They got together. They opened their first shop.
Sounds like Reese's Pieces, right? Two great tastes and one candy.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Chocolate and peanut butter. But yeah, so they opened in 1997. By 2006, they started franchising them.
Wow.
And now they're in 26 states, including Illinois. So they are, they're in the growth mode too. People wanting, I guess, old-fashioned food, which is kind of like what a bundt cake is, right? It was something like you'd eat as a kid. You know, it's that round cake with the hole in the middle.
Yeah, no, so the thing that's interesting to me about bundt cakes, and I'm really amazed at what a sweet tooth as a country we've developed here, right? Cupcakes have gone out of this world. Mm-hmm. We now have all kinds of cupcake war shows on HGTV and Food Network. And now we've got bundt cakes coming in. We've got down the street Dylan's Candy Bar. And, you know, we have just so many fortunes that have been made on the backs of sweet treats. What I like about bundt cakes is somebody who does a lot of serving. I'm a good cook. I'm a really mediocre baker. Like, mm-hmm. I can bake five things and that's it. And when you were describing how they got together with their different specialty recipes, that would never have been me. But I love that I can serve mini bundt cakes at a party, whereas cupcakes don't quite have that same cachet. So this is a different kind of a niche for me.
Well, it's certainly a high service, high-end service business. If you look on their website, there's a lot of personal service, you know, exactly what you want. They're showing the customers, you know, books of all the different kind of cakes. And it's interesting, they try to sell them as sort of a niche market as gifts and rewards for employees. So if you own a business and you want to reward an employee for doing a good job, you can go there and get one of these small cakes. They come in beautiful boxes, you know, and very fancy bags, and it's well thought out. It's a well thought out business.
Well, kudos to them and sweet treats for all. Andrew, thank you so much for stopping by. Good local stuff today.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, and have a happy new year.
You too.
This is the end. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for my good friend Steve Bertram today. You can follow me on Twitter at Glink, thinklink.com, and we've got our Monday Morning Marketing Podcast with John Byrne starting next week on WGM Plus. You can tune into that for a little extra advice for your small or medium-sized business, or oh, what the heck? Even large businesses use Twitter these days. John Najarian is co-founder of Option Monster. He joins me now. Hey, John.
Elise, great to be with you. Although that Adele, I love the song.
I know. I was like, maybe we could just let her sing through the segment. I don't know. It's
yeah,
pretty awesome.
Love the song, but it's a little scary. And yes, I guess last week at times it would have been prophetic. This week, it's not so bad.
All right. So tell me a little bit about oil today. I was very interested to see that we've come off the 11-year lows, and that is supposedly, I just love the reasoning behind business journalists. Why is it that we are off the 11-year lows? They say it's because colder temperatures. Really? What are you seeing out there?
Well, these kinds of excuses happen a lot, especially with a commodity that either gets too frothy or oversold, and crude oil is probably in the latter category. Crude oil and natural gas, because of demands for heating oil on the East Coast, but natural gas in particular, that has just skyrocketed in the past two sessions because of the cold with the middle of the country and for that matter, all the way out to California, unseasonably cold. And now some of the high temperatures that New York had over Christmas, up in the 70s, actually,
crazy,
disappeared. And now we're back down, you know,
in winter,
sort of where average is.
Yeah, seasonable temperatures. It seems to me that that's kind of a crazy reason to say, okay, suddenly we're going to have colder temperatures in the middle of winter. But, oh, well.
Yeah. And it was down 3% yesterday. So the fact that it's up 3% today, again, not a huge surprise.
Not a huge surprise. What about the market in general? We see a nice jump today. We're at about, what, 100, up almost to almost 200 points up on the Dow today. S&P is up and NASDAQ is up as well. Are we going to end the year plus or minus? And what do you think?
I think just plus, but just barely. So I don't think we're a big threat to make it a 3 or 4% upside move over the next two sessions. I think more or less today's 1% move puts us slightly positive for the year in the two major indices. So I think that's about where we finish, Elise. Not too far from here. But again, we've been so linked with crude oil that if we did see a second day of rallies tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised to see the market edge higher, but probably not another 200.
Well, what do you, when you look out for 2016, John, where do you think the, you know, places to make that investment really are? Where should sort of the average Chicagoan be looking to invest?
Well, there can be a pretty good case made for technology still, because regardless of where energy prices are and commodities, and they have, of course, imploded, commodities have this past year. Everything from coffee to crude oil and natural gas are basically at the lows of the year or very near them. So I would think, though, that many of the technology stocks, and in particular, a company like Apple, I know we talk about it all the time, but this is a stock that did nothing this year because they had a product that people really weren't crazy about. The iWatch was not a significant seller, didn't bring people into the stores in the numbers that they thought it would. And that's why Apple year to date is down about 1.5%, even though they spill out money, tons of money to shareholders. They've also been buying back shares pretty aggressively. But Apple and Qualcomm, both, those are two companies on the tech side that I would focus on.
You know, it's interesting because they are exactly what you don't want to see, that people are always investing, which is big names but no money, no profits. Apple, Qualcomm are longtime established companies in the tech space, but they're really building across a whole variety of lines, product lines. And it isn't just for Apple, the things that you're holding in your hand or you're wearing on your body, but the future look for them is sort of interesting as well. With self-driving cars, they're going to take on Google, and they've got a whole bunch of things happening in the cloud. So when you think about tech, are you thinking sort of in a grander fashion about what tech companies are doing to stay profitable?
Yes, I am. In particular, companies like even Amazon, that's not hugely profitable, but nonetheless is expanding dramatically into the cloud. Microsoft has really made its year by extending its reach in the cloud, because, of course, then they don't have to sell any of us disks. We can just upgrade right to the cloud and get what we need right from there as far as Office and their enterprise software. So I think those are two examples. And when you go to an Apple, it might be a self-driving car. Then again, it might just be a lot of the integrated, intelligent parts of the vehicle that Apple is really focusing on, the things that could go right from your car to your home, from the entertainment system to all the different connectivity to everything else we do in our lives. You've already seen with Nest, the Google product,
right,
that they basically can get into your home and let you monitor your temperatures and adjust them from anywhere. And I would think similar things will be happening from your car directly to your home, and Apple wants to be part of that.
Well, as somebody who has watched that connectivity space for houses for at least 20, 25 years, Nest is the first product to actually give us a real push into that direction after 20 years of promises. So it's kind of nice to see. John, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Elise. Have a great new year.
Hey, thanks. You do the same.
Thank you.
It is 12:28. I'm Elise Glink with WGN. We'll be back in a minute with more. If you've got questions for me, real estate or money, you can call or text 312-981-7200. This is WGN Radio. Welcome back to WGN Radio. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Steve Bertram today, tomorrow, and Thursday. So happy to have you join me today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We are going to talk about real estate, and I want to open this up as like an Ask Me Anything. It's AMA, Reddit style, but about money and real estate and business. So to give you a little bit of background, I have been hanging around Chicago my entire life. I'm about as local as can get. I was raised in Lakeview. Since then, have written for the Tribune, the Sun-Times, Cranes, all kinds of other places, a whole bunch of books. I was on WGN-TV for years. And now hanging out at WGN Radio, which is so fun. Glad to be doing it. You can follow me on Twitter, at Glink, G-L-I-N-K. You can go to my website, thinkglink.com. But you should also know that I have another company called Think Glink Media, where we do a whole lot of communication strategy and consulting with big companies, a lot of them in the financial services space, given my money, real estate, and business background. And so I'm hosting or co-hosting Monday Morning Marketing, which is a special podcast with my good friend John Byrne. He's the former CMO of a huge global law firm. He now runs a content shop in Glencoe, where we both live, on WGN Plus. So they're going to start picking it up next week. You'll see our smiling faces. John is going to join me on the radio on Thursday, and we're going to talk a little bit about marketing and social media. But if you have got a question for me or you just want to talk, end of the year, you can call or text 312-981-7200. If I can help you with your money or real estate questions or trouble, I'm happy to do that, of course. Even talk to you about social media if you like. So we're going to do that now. Ask me anything, 981-312-981-7200. And to kick things off while we're waiting for your call, I'm going to talk a little bit about the home prices that were released today. The S&P Case-Shiller Index of Property Values was released this morning. It comes out every month. And these guys take a look at not just the individual markets, but they take a look at the top 20 U.S. cities, kind of in a big group. Chicago is, of course, one of them, and being one of the top 20 cities. And it shows kind of smooth things out a little bit, right? When you look at home prices on a day-to-day basis, that just doesn't work, right? Homes don't sell every day. Homes sell, you know, probably, well, I'm trying to think how many times I've seen the homes in my neighborhood turn over in 20, 25 years. They'll probably turn over three or four times an individual house. Some people will stay there 20 or 30 or 40 years. Some people will sell every couple of years. It's just how things are. And so what they do is smooth things out a little bit so that you can see what's going on. So what they found is that home prices overall of these top 20 markets climbed 5.5% from a year ago, October, until last month, which was a little bit below what the median projection of 21 economists surveyed by Bloomberg thought was going to happen. Now, that is still a really huge number. Remember that homes are only supposed to be appreciating at just over the rate of inflation, right? Just over the rate of inflation, which, by the way, we've had like zero inflation now for years and years and years. So you would think that home prices might climb 0.5% or 1%. So to go up 5.5% is pretty high. In Chicago, we were the lowest of the group of 20, let's call it. And home prices went up just 1.3% year over year, so just over the rate of inflation. And in fact, you saw prices, home prices fall 0.75% between September and October. And that was the smallest change over 20 cities. We actually had no change in home prices August to September, which is sort of interesting. So how does that balance out with the top? Well, hello, if you're in San Francisco, I think you could stand on your front doorstep and watch home prices increase just as you're standing there. San Francisco, Denver, and Portland, Oregon. I just had a friend close on a house. Well, yeah, I think she just closed in Portland. She said the homes were moving so fast, she barely could get in there. Those three cities saw almost an 11% change year over year in home prices. Think about that, 11%. That's really like insane. And let me just say, I'm not a mathematician, but completely unsustainable. Completely unsustainable. Anyway, let's go to the phones. 312-981-7200. Laura joins me on the air. Hey, Laura, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. When I heard that you were willing to take questions on real estate, I just perked up.
Well, thank you for that.
I am a single person. I'm semi-retired. I have been trying to find a place to buy in the city of Chicago or Oak Park for the last year and a half, and I've been unsuccessful. I put an offer in a few months ago on what I thought was my dream house, condo. They were unable to supply any meeting minutes, financial records, and they did not have any reserves for 2 years. So I pulled my offer. I don't know where to turn. I am so desperate. I am renting a condo now, and it is made like a paper bag. I hear the neighbors above me, below me, and on the side of me, and I just cannot take it anymore, and I don't even know what to do. I finally thought, well, you know, I'm going to put a little ad in. Hey, does a little old lady need a roommate? You know, I can cook for them. I can share a room. Well, you think it's funny, but I remember when my mother was in her 80s, she really, really, really wanted to stay in her house, but she needed a little bit of tending. You know, just wanted that her meds were taken on time, that she had a healthy dinner, you know, and that she could get a ride to the doctor on occasion. But I haven't gotten any reply yet. I think my friends are thinking I'm going loco. But if you have any ideas whatsoever, I'm willing, ready, and able to pay cash. I don't think I am looking for a small one bedroom. I do have a dog, and I do need parking. And other than that, as long as it's quiet, I'm okay.
So, Laura, you're experiencing what a whole lot of people are experiencing right now, which is, again, why home prices are really jumping up. There is not enough what we would call inventory in the market. Not enough people are putting their homes in the market. And so people like you are trying to buy, and you're willing to do almost anything to get in somewhere, except to something that's almost suicidal, which would be buying a place right. that won't give you any of the financials, the numbers, doesn't have any reserves. Like, you're not crazy. You just want right. to buy a place to live. I don't think that for a short-term basis, your idea of renting a room from somebody and providing some services for that is a bad thing, but it doesn't get you to your dream of buying your own home. And some seniors may or may not want to have a dog. That could be tougher. And I have some ideas on how you could maybe find a situation like that. I would probably avoid Craigslist, but what you might do is go to some of the senior centers where you have active seniors that spend time, or people there who work in the senior community who may be able to refer you to other people in the area who have parents. Community centers may know of local residents who are looking for an arrangement like that. And so you could pick your community and start there. In terms of finding a house, are you working with a real estate agent?
I have been, and she's wonderful. And, like, she you know, with this one offer, it was great. But what she has showed me is, you know, she says, well, you know, they don't take dogs, so can't send you that one. Or there's no parking, so it can't, you know. So it's, and I didn't think I was asking for the moon and the stars. I do teach healthy cooking classes to seniors, and they don't have a bulletin board there, and I'm not sure how I would reach out, but I will try. I think that's a great idea, and I think that there's also another radio show that a woman does for seniors, but maybe that's a good idea.
I think there are a lot of opportunities to reach out and touch some people that way. I also think that, you know, in terms of just you finding something, right now it feels like you're never going to find anything, and you've been looking for a long time. So the obvious things are, number one, enlarge the parameters of where you're looking, right? So check out some other neighborhoods. Number two.
You know what? I expanded it from Oak Park to the entire city of Chicago.
And you can't find a single place to buy? Oh, my goodness.
No, it has to be a dog.
A dog issue.
It has to have parking and one level. You know, as I'm getting older, I don't want to buy a place and have to climb up to a third floor.
Right. No,
but other than that, that's it. I'm not, you know, doesn't have to be fancy.
Well, hopefully hopefully you're going to get, as soon as January 1st hits, hopefully what you're going to do is have some more opportunities, because people are going to be putting their homes on the market, and that's going to work in your favor. And so what I'm going to do is wish you a happy new year and hope that this dream that you have of buying a house is actually going to come through. If you want to talk a little bit more about this, send me an email to questions@thinklink.com. In fact, that's for everybody. If we can't get to your question today, questions@thinklink.com. I would be more than happy to help out. I'm Elise Glink. I'll be back in a moment with more on WGN Radio. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm sitting in for Steve Bertram today, tomorrow, and Thursday. So I hope you'll tune in. We're doing an Ask Me Anything right now. You can call or text your question to 312-981-7200. You can also follow me on Twitter. Hope you do, by the way, at Glink, G-L-I-N-K, thinklink.com. I've got a Facebook page. We're constantly pumping out all kinds of news you can use. And starting next week, Monday Morning Marketing is my podcast with John Byrne on WGN Plus. All right, let's take another call. Wes joins me on the line at WGN Radio. Hey, Wes.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it. Happy New Year.
And to you.
Thanks. What can I do?
Well, I have a question as concerning the value of my home, how to increase it. I have a basement right now that is easily, I could finish it pretty easy. There's a bedroom down there and a bathroom. But my issue is it's not actually connected to the inside of the house.
Wait, the basement is not connected?
Correct. You have to go outside to get into the basement.
Got it. That's how my house was when I first bought it.
It's
really cold in the winter to do that.
Yeah. So my question is, now, if I was able to put a stairway from the upstairs to the basement, would that increase the value of my home?
So the first question you have to ask yourself is, what is everybody else in the neighborhood doing? So are all of the homes in the neighborhood built the way yours are, or have they been torn down and new houses gone up, or have people put in these elaborate sort of staircase enclosures? What's going on?
I live in a very old neighborhood, so most of the houses are original, and, you know, some people have small additions on them and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not, have they connected the basements to the top floor or to the main level of the house in some way, internally?
Most of the houses are connected and finished basements. Yeah.
Okay. So then the good news is that if you decide to make that improvement, you're just following along with what's going on in the neighborhood. So doing that should improve the value of your house, provided you don't do it outrageously expensively and you live there a while so that the cost that you put into it can actually be absorbed as prices go up, even just a little bit. How long have you lived in that property?
I'm my third year.
That's nice. And how long do you plan to stay?
Well, we were looking at 5 years in it. It's our first, you know, starter house. But mm-hmm. if we could make it more, you know, livable where we want to stay, then that would be more of an option for us.
So another way to think about this is that if you finish the downstairs basement bath, and you might, depending on, and it would depend on local tax, the local housing code ordinance, you might be able to rent that out instead. Is that a possibility?
We actually did that for a little bit. I rented it out to my little brother.
Mm-hmm. Was he a good tenant?
Yeah, he was all right.
Sometimes little brothers are not so good.
Oh, no, he did just fine.
Okay.
But it wasn't up to code. I know there's supposed to be two exits, so that's part of the reason we've never rented it back out.
Okay. So then if you're thinking about connecting the two, what you'd want to do is do it as nicely but inexpensively as possible. So by that I mean, don't Donald Trump it, right? And layer it with gold and all this stuff that would just, you know, way cost more than the value you'll ever get out of it. You don't want to go in that direction, right? But you also, and you want to make a smart move, though, which is to build something in keeping with the neighborhood. So you never want to be too far out in front, especially because you don't really have a very long time horizon for this. You've got a 5 year, you think, you're 3 years into it. That's only 2 years for prices to kind of rise up to a place where they might be able to, you know, cover the investment and then some. So what I would do is talk to some local real estate agents, maybe even the person who sold you the place, or if you see If you go around the neighborhood and there are homes for sale and one particular company has more homes that they're listing than others, maybe what I would do is go talk to them about this plan and say to them, look, what would make this house sell more easily? If I had this enclosure and then we finished the basement and the bath, we put in a few little things, what would you suggest that we do in order to make this property flip for a higher price right away? And I would listen to their advice because they're the ones who are familiar with the neighborhood and what's going on and all the rest. And they're really going to give you, I think, smart advice. And you want to talk to more than one because everybody's got a little difference of opinion.
Right. Yeah, they see it every day. So that makes good sense.
Yeah, well, real estate is all about common sense as far as I'm concerned. You never just want to build something that is so unique to your own taste that whoever comes in is going to go, are you kidding me?
Right.
And I always think to myself, the very first episode or the very first season of This Old House, you remember This Old House with Bob Vila and Norm?
Yes, I do.
Norm Abrams. So their very first season, and I'm so dating myself here, they put in bright orange Formica countertops in the kitchen.
Ugh.
And I looked, and I'm all for orange, right? I went to University of Illinois, so go, orange and blue. I looked at my husband. We're sitting there looking at that. We're like, is that the ugliest thing you have ever seen in your whole life? And he's like, yeah, who would put in orange Formica countertops? I mean, this is, what year is this? And so they did that, and I'm sure whoever bought that house from them ripped that out 5 seconds later.
Right.
Don't make this you. Wes, do something
right.
else.
Just make it clean and appealing, useful.
Right. You definitely want to make it beautiful. And if you need some ideas on what that should look like, you can go to any of the 7 bazillion Pinterest accounts and they'll show you, or HGTV.com has some great stuff. I'm sure you have much better taste than Norm and Bob Vila for sure. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks for listening and have a happy new year.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
It's 12:58 on WGN Radio. I'm Elise Glink, the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm back tomorrow, of course, and we've got more with WGN Radio. But first, this is Chicago's very own WGN.